Blog Talk Radio.
Folks stumble and fall, ain't nothing new at all. We just keep coming up with new ways of going down. Whether you're poor or rich, at the bottom of the ditch, you can finally see the light and turn your life around.
Well, hi there once again, everybody, and welcome to Mormon Vegetarian, the podcast for Mormons and anybody else who's interested in the benefits of a plant-based diet. I'm your host, Byron Elton, and not coming to you today from beautiful Santa Barbara, California, but from another exotic and gorgeous location. And I'm pleased to say that my good friend and co-host Rogan Taylor is actually with me here in beautiful Pacific Grove, California. That's part of the Monterey Peninsula. It's Monterey and Carmel and Big Sur. And Rogan, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. It's fabulous to be here. The weather is amazing. All the trees are growing out new leaves, and wow, what a place.
Well, Rogan and his beautiful wife, Linda, flew in this morning from Salt Lake to San Jose. They jumped in a car and drove to Carmel. Linda and I left this morning from Santa Barbara and drove up, and we rendezvoused in Carmel Valley, which is an exquisite part of the world. We actually lived here for a couple of years ago. As a matter of fact, our youngest son was born in Monterey. We were living in Carmel by the sea. You know, there's Carmel Valley, and then there's Carmel by the sea. Carmel by the sea is the more famous one, which is 1 square mile right on the ocean. We lived at 12th and Dolores. Nobody has mailboxes. You actually have to go into the town and get your mail. And Carmel's famous for a lot of things, not the least of which is one of our more famous residents is Clint Eastwood. And Clint lived and lives about 2 blocks from where we lived. And I got to know Clint reasonably well while we lived here, played a little tennis with him, really an interesting guy. Matter of fact, his wife, or actually his former wife now, Dina Ruiz, used to work for us at the TV station. So we had a wonderful time here. So it's great to come back and chase some ghosts and spend some time with our good friends, Rogan and Linda Taylor. And we're here for kind of a special occasion. Why don't you tell the folks why we're here, Rogue?
We have a very good friend who helped cure his cancer on a plant-based diet, and he's turning 60 years old. So we're here to celebrate his life and his journey and progress.
Yes, a wonderful story about a guy who, as Rogan said, turned his life around, as the song said, with a plant-based diet, and a bunch of friends are coming in. He doesn't know about it, and ironically, probably going to celebrate by eating a bunch of meat. Except for Rogan and Linda and Byron and Linda. So anyway, we are in this beautiful part of the world. After the podcast today, we're going to go out, probably go do the 17-mile drive in Pebble Beach, and then maybe even head on out to Big Sur and take lots of pictures. One of the things that Rogan and I have promised ourselves we're going to do is we're going to come up with a new picture to put on our podcast rather than that silly one with the sunglasses and the carrots. So we'll look for some impossibly beautiful place to take a picture and update our photos. And you'll notice, for our millions of fans around the world, that I've changed a little bit. I've got a little facial hair that I didn't have in the last one. Our guests here at Pacific Grove were asking me about my beard, and I said, well, you know, there are a few things in life that are free anymore, and that's one of them. It's a relatively inexpensive diversion, and it just so happens that our ward back in Santa Barbara, that our bishop is up for change. And so every time that happens, I grow a beard because I don't want anybody to think that I would be a reasonable replacement. So I'm trying to avoid that as long as possible. But anyway, great to have the Taylors with us, and great to be in this beautiful part of the world, and so excited to come to you with our 39th episode of Mormon Vegetarian. Very special guest. I'm going to let Rogan introduce him in just a moment. But I should mention, I may have mentioned this last week, that we've actually achieved over 10,000 listens to our podcast, which is, you know, not an insignificant number. We're happy to turn that 10 into the next 10 and then beyond that. So, Rogan, it's been a great pleasure to be on this journey with you, and thank you for all your help. So why don't you just take a few minutes and tell us about our friend, your friend, our new friend that we're going to be talking to today.
You bet. Well, Byron, as you know, on this show, we've talked many times about, in my practice, helping people with health, I try to talk to everyone who will listen or who may be interested in help. And I talk to a lot of people, and some are interested and some just aren't going to be and you think never will be. Well, the guest today is named Jim Jacobs. I've known him for a long time. He's had several issues that I've worked on him for, and I'll let him kind of tell his story. But he's the guy who you never thought would become plant-based eating. And so I'm excited for you to hear this story because it's pretty funny, and you just know these kind of people who you think this guy will never change. But he did it, and it's an amazing thing. And if he can do it, anybody can do it. So let's welcome Jim, and let's hear his story.
Hey, Jim, welcome to Mormon Vegetarian.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We should mention that Jim is coming to us from Orem, Utah, a little bit colder in Orem than it is here in Northern California. But let me start the questioning here, Jim. We've titled this episode, Jim Jacobs, the Unlikely Vegan, the Unlikely Plant-Based Guest on the show today. So, but before we get into all that, kind of how you got there, why don't you tell us a little bit about Jim, where you were born and growing up, and kind of bring us up to speed, and then we'll get more into the diet part of things.
Born in Idaho, didn't live there long. My dad was with the Forest Service. He got transferred, lived around in Utah, did most of my growing up in Ogden, junior high and high school, went to Weber College, the University of Utah, then went to school in California and Georgia, ended up teaching both public school and junior college and university, and retired 3 years ago from all that. I'm married to Linda, met her in California, she was from Chicago. We have 8 kids, they're scattered around the country, 2 of them in Utah, the rest elsewhere. That's probably enough.
So, interesting, all 3 of our wife's name is Linda. How about that?
Yeah.
Whoa! We're going out after, I suppose.
Yeah, let's do it. So, Jim, why don't you just tell everyone, how did you get started on this journey? What led you to where you are today?
I had a wise mother who was always suspect of extremes. And we grew up that way as well. And sensible things tend to be balanced. And in fact, she was a food and nutrition teacher. She even went to Columbia.
Oh, really? You never told me that.
Pardon?
You never told me that.
Oh, yeah, she wanted to find out really about the principles of food and food chemistry, and she went there and got her master's degree in food and nutrition and spent her life teaching that. And things like this. I had a friend who came over and said, a guy I have met has told me about the healing properties in honey and how it's much better than sugar. And so we shouldn't be eating sugar, we should be eating honey because it has all these extra things in it. And she said, and he said, what do you think of that? She said, well, you're right. There are extra things in honey you don't get in sugar. But she said, The problem is, for them to have any benefit for you, you'd have to eat a train boxcar load of this stuff. it's so small that it's really not going to help. And so in a home with a good cook and a woman who liked food and liked nutrition, and we ate meat and potatoes and all kinds of other things. And when I married, one of my sons married a girl who was a vegetarian. And we'd go have picnics and cookouts, and I had to buy veggie burgers for her. And I'd roll my eyes, and because I loved him and her, I'd do it. And I would mention to her that I still loved her, but this really wasn't something that people needed to be doing. And but I did it for her. And I've always thought vegetarians were a little bit suspect, I guess is the word. The world is full of good things to eat. Why limit yourself just to vegetables? And I didn't mind voicing my opinion to people who were vegetarians that it's fine, but I'm not sure I can really understand why you would do that to yourself, why you would limit yourself the pleasures of the full palate of food. Well, so that goes on. And then years later, for reasons I still don't understand, I started getting terrible, terrible headaches. And I went to the doctor, and he ran some tests and couldn't find anything. I went to another one. We had a CAT scan, and they can find nothing. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to spend the rest of my life with this. Now, I'm not a big fan of pain anyway, but this, I get up in the middle of the night, and on the way to the bathroom, there was a hook with my terry cloth bathrobe. And as I pass it, I take the sleeve and put it in my mouth and just bite down hard because the pain was so bad.
Oh, dear.
And I had been to two doctors and didn't really know what to do. And Linda and I were with some friends one night, and he was a periodontist, and he said, why don't you try a physical therapist? Well, in my book, physical therapists and chiropractors are the same animal. And I didn't have any interest in either one of them. But pain will drive you to do funny things. And he gave me a name that happened to be Rogan Taylor. And so I made an appointment. And he put me in one of those little rooms with the door, which I didn't realize what a privilege that was, and sat me down and asked me what was happening. And I told him. And then he went around behind me, and he started feeling across the top of my shoulders, if I remember, and up my neck on both sides. And he didn't do it long at all. And then he said, ah, there it is. And on the right side of my neck, he took his thumb and pushed, and something happened. And Rogan, I still don't know what it is. Are those called facets?
Facet joints, yeah.
And then he said, now here's what you have to do for the next couple of weeks. Sit down, look to the left, hold it for 30 seconds. Look all the way to the right, hold it for 30 seconds. And the pain was gone, and it never came back. And I thought, this is really something. And I was grateful to him and pain-free. Well, the next thing that happened to me is that I taught on a university campus. And between the parking lot and the building where I taught, it's about a 5-minute walk. But my knees started hurting like crazy, and it would take me 20 minutes to get to my office. And I said, it worked once, I'm going to go back to this guy. And I went back to Rogan, and he ended up giving me, and we ended up, I was lying down on a table, and they dangled my feet over the end. And he made some more thought. Well, he took plaster casts of my feet, and eventually I got some orthotics, and the pain was gone. And I wore them, and still do wear them. This was years and years and years and years ago. So that's two strikes. Well, no, that's two pluses for Rogan. And then a couple of other things happened. I had a bad shoulder pain. couldn't even put on my coat, couldn't get my arm behind me to get it in the sleeve. And I went to him, and I didn't know at the time how much he loved to inflict pain. But he inflicted pain on my shoulder, but over a not very long time, it went away and I could use my arm again. And then there's one more. And then these aren't one after another. This is over a series of years. I lifted up a box in a closet and I was standing wrong. And I've had a good back my whole life. I've never had back problems. But when I stood up, something happened. And I had a back problem. And I was in Pennsylvania when this happened. And I came home and made an appointment. And he said, "You've locked your SI joint." And I had no idea what that meant. But he unlocked it. And then I locked it up the next day, and he had to unlock it. And I was going away for a semester in New Zealand, and he gave me a leather belt and said, "This is the best I can do," but it worked, and my back got better. So I'm a believer in Rogan, and I found out, indeed, that he's not a chiropractor, and that what he wants, we both agree on this. We want to address the problem, get it solved, and never see each other again. And that's my idea of healing. So, years later, I'm not feeling good. I'm tired. I'm draggy. I don't feel good. I don't know how to describe it. And I said, "Who can help me with this?" And I said, "Rogan Taylor has risen to the occasion before. I'm going to go see him and see what he can do. I don't have any specific things that I can tell him, except I'm just generally feeling lousy." And by that time, I'd learned a little about Rogan's own personal life, and that he's not only a vegetarian, he's a vegan, which is much worse than a vegetarian. And I had a son who dabbled in veganism for a while, but after a month or so, he had to get out and get a thick, juicy cheeseburger, and I thought, "Now this kid's going to be okay." I said, "Rogan, this is where I am. I would like some help somewhere. I don't want to feel this bad. But I don't want any of your vegetarian, vegan stuff. I just want you to make me feel better." And he's so agreeable. He's nodding. He's saying, "Okay, okay." And he checks me out again. And then we start talking about things. And I can tell he's going to want me to do something with my lifestyle change. And I don't want to do that. And so he tells me about some people, and he tells me about what happened. And finally, this isn't in one visit, because he's working on my knees, too. Finally, I say, okay, I'll cut back on red meat, but I'm not giving up chicken. And I'm not giving up fish. He said, "Fine, you don't have to." And I was ready for a fight, but he would never give me a fight. He just said, "Look, you can do what you want. But this is what I think will help you feel better." And in fact, there are two things that turned the corner for me. One was, he'd ask leading questions. What is it that you don't like about eating a plant-based diet? I said, "Rogan, I love food. It's the texture. It's the taste. It's the flavor. I cut out all the good stuff. If all I'm doing is eating broccoli." And he said, "Jim, why did you come to me?" And I said, "I want you to make me feel better, or you help me to feel better." He said, "What I'm telling you is the best thing that I know for you to feel better." And then he gave me a book called The China Study. And it was thick. I wasn't real wild about reading it. But he said, read this. And I told him I would. The first thing was when he said, "Why did you come to see me?" And I said, "Because I want to feel better." And the second thing, the turning point, was this book, The China Study. And I read The China Study. And by the time I was finished with The China Study, I said, "Okay, I'll give this a go. I'll try it." I wasn't committed to it yet, but there was enough varied information from lots of places that grabbed my attention that I said I would do it. And I started to do it. And we kept talking about it, and he'd give me recipes, and there you are. And then I would tell my friends that I'm not eating meat anymore. They'd say, what? And I said, yeah, go ahead. Heap it on me. I've been after people my whole life who were doing silly things like this. I mean, I deserve it. And they didn't mind giving it to me. And particularly when we got to the vegan part. They thought that that was just a bit extreme. And I said, I used to think it was terribly extreme. Not a bit. And so that's sort of the background and where it happened. And, oh, the other thing that he said that was sensible, too, he said, you know, it's not 100%. If you do it 95%, that's going to be great. And he said, and I even occasionally like a frozen yogurt. And I thought, this is making more sense to me, because the people, of all the things we disagree on in this world, I'm not sure there's anything that we disagree on more than what we should put in our mouths for our health. And we all have such different opinions about that. And so he didn't. And then he said, and when I eat a pizza, I'll occasionally eat a piece of pizza and cheese and all. But I like that because the people that I had met were absolutely strict. Plus, I'm not a lifestyle vegan. I wear leather belts. It doesn't bother me in the least. But when he said it's a plant-based diet we're after, I that seemed to make more sense to me instead of the lifestyle of nothing except plants ever and no going back and no cheating on the corners. Rogan apparently cheats just a little too. And so I could do that. And so here we are talking on the phone, you in California and me in Utah, me wishing I were in California.
Well, what a great story, Jim. I had to laugh when you were telling your story about, as a former vegan antagonist, for you to be on the other side of that now and have people, it reminded me of that great scene. Did you ever see the movie Roxanne?
I think I did.
So there's a great scene in there. You know, it's based on Cyrano de Bergerac, right? And the guy with the huge nose, and he's got this big nose, and they're in a restaurant or a bar, and a guy makes a comment about his nose. And it's not even very witty, and he says, is that all you've got? That's the best you got? And then he goes on to give him, like, another 30 better things to say about somebody with a big nose. So I'm sure whatever anyone ever says to you, you've got another 10 that you could come back and say, hey, I had better ones than that when I was on your side of the fence. Hey, so I have a question.
There you are.
I have a question for you, Jim. And you've been plant-based for how long now, just to kind of put this into perspective?
You know, has it been 3 years? Linda says it's been 4 years. It's been 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. 3 or 4 years.
I think it's been close to 4.
Yeah, significant.
I'm sorry?
No, I say that's wonderful. I was thinking, as you were talking about your first encounter with Rogan and going in one of those rooms. I've been in those rooms, as have many of our, and you'll get a kick out of this. Rogan and I talk a lot, and every time I call Rogan on the phone, he always says, hey, how are we doing? And I always thought, well, that's interesting. That's his way of saying hi, right? And then I suddenly realized that's what he says 30 times a day as he greets all of his patients. He goes from room to room to room. And somebody will walk in, and the first thing he says is, hey, how are we doing? Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what he says. So here's my question for you, Jim, and then I'd like you to answer this, and then Rogan and I are going to break for a segment we do on news of the week. But, you know, this would be probably not an uncommon experience for a lot of people, regardless of their religious persuasion, but given the fact that you are LDS, I assume you were born and raised in the church. If I'm wrong, you'll disabuse me of that. But certainly somebody who grew up understanding that health was important to us, and we tried to get good night's sleep, and we didn't drink alcohol or tea and coffee, and we didn't smoke cigarettes, and there was this thing called the word of wisdom that we would point to as to why we didn't. When you became enlightened about the impact through the China study and your conversations with Rogan about the impact that our food choices have on our health and our well-being, did you have any sort of experience thinking back on that particular document and how that might have some information there about your new lifestyle?
Rogan told me that I would get new insights into Section 89. And I've read it a number of times since. And I have maybe a little new insight into that, but I don't have any wow experience with it. I read that, and it doesn't seem to me to absolutely prohibit meat as I read it. And but the issue, well, I'm not answering your question. Let me answer your question. Yes, somewhat. No, not as much as Rogan wants me to have.
Well, you know, a good friend of ours who listens to this podcast regularly and has done wonderful work. I don't know if you've read her articles or her book, actually, on the Word of Wisdom. Her name is Jane Birch and does a lot of stuff online. And Jane is very quick, and I think rightfully so, when she engages people who are not there, right, and are saying, well, wait a second, I've read the Word of Wisdom. And she's very quick to say, well, listen, let's get something very clear here. The Word of Wisdom does not totally prohibit the consumption of meat. As a matter of fact, it's very clear that it allows for the consumption of it in certain circumstances. So this idea that you could never, ever, ever, ever put a piece of meat into your mouth for the rest of your life, no matter what, is simply not consistent. So you'd be very consistent with Jane and many of us on that. Well, listen, we are talking with Jim Jacobs, the unlikely plant-based Mormon today on Mormon Vegetarian. We're going to rejoin that conversation in just a moment.
It's time for Mormon Vegetarian News of the Week. That's right. 2014 has been declared as the year of the vegan. And Rogan and I have scoured the internet for the latest and greatest and most useful information about a plant-based diet just for you.
So I do realize that it's no longer 2014. I have to redo that. And although I just thought of something, if 2014 was designated as the year of the vegan, you may find it interesting, Rogan, and we'll talk about this on another occasion, that 2015 has been designated by the United Nations as the year of topsoil. Now, that's a very interesting conversation when it comes to our food choices. We'll talk about that another time. But here we are, Rogan. We're going to both take one story this week. Why don't you go ahead and start?
So, Byron, I ended up having two, if it's okay. I'll give you one, then you can give one. But So the article that I found that I want to share is called Normal Numbers Don't Equal Good Health. And, you know, how often have you talked to someone who says, oh, yeah, my blood pressure is fine and my cholesterol is fine because I take medication, and so everything's fine. I'm healthy. But it's a great little article that really goes through about just because you lower your blood pressure by medication doesn't mean you're now healthy and your risk signs have gone away. Just because you lower your cholesterol with cholesterol-lowering medication doesn't mean you have less risk of a heart attack. It just kind of makes us feel good, and it gives a lot of money to the drug companies. But it's one of the interesting things that we've got to help people understand is medication changes to your system don't make you healthy. And anyway, great little article. I'll post it online, and they can take a read on it.
Thank you very much. That's it's interesting. Normal is a very troublesome word, isn't it? And we tend to talk with new information and new science about the new normal. And I think we're clearly dealing with a new normal, not unlike the definition of the word standard You know, we talk about the standard American diet. Standard being, well, that's kind of what's accepted and most typical and whatnot. And we know that the standard American diet, or SAD, is killing a whole bunch of people all the time. So I can't wait to read that. Thank you. Well, my item comes from, and I come from the world of advertising and communications and marketing and public relations. And so I found this one to be particularly interesting. I think if these people were to come to me and say, listen, we want to hire you to help us tell our story and to change the perception about who we are and what we do, and we are hesitant to turn away any business unless it's something that, you know, is unethical, et cetera. This is one I would turn down for two reasons. One, because I think it's unethical, and number two, because I think it doesn't have a chance in the world of having much success.
Yeah.
But it's a new campaign. Who'd ever thought we'd see this, right? You know you've arrived when you're deemed worthy enough of an opponent that they need to conduct a whole campaign against you. And it's from the dairy industry. Our friends at the dairy industry have launched a new anti-vegan milk campaign. So this is a campaign essentially on social media, by the way. You're not going to see a lot of TV commercials, but you're going to see a lot of stuff in the blogosphere. You're going to see a lot of stuff on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot, which is quite frankly where a lot of people get their information these days, against non-dairy milks, very specifically almond milk, which has very quickly become the non-dairy milk of choice. And it's so interesting. I'll post a couple of links on this, one talking about the campaign, another one from one of the dairy industry's insider documents on this. So the first question is, say, well, why are they doing this? Well, there's only one reason they're doing it, and that is the consumption of milk in the United States of America has gone down significantly in the last 30 or 40 years, but very precipitously in the last 5 or 10 years. And we all know the reasons why, and that is that when the science starts to be known about what dairy does to you and what's really in that milk, and you start realizing that you know, human beings are the only species on the planet that drinks other species milk unless they have to. And so don't be surprised if you start seeing some anti-almond milk messages out there, and you know, got milk campaigns talking about the wonderful healthful benefits, not only healthful benefits of dairy milk, but how superior it is to almond milk. So kind of curious and actually not alarmed by it at all, but it's a recognition and a validation that the tide has shifted. I believe there's already been a tipping point, and it's all downhill for them from now on. So kind of interesting.
Yeah, Byron, it's going to be interesting to watch that unfold and see what kind of impact it has on people. I'm sure there will be plenty who want to cling to that as the facts, right?
Sure.
So one more thing that I just wanted to mention. As you know, I love Dr. Greger, his website, nutritionfacts.org. And a little while ago, there was a great little video about Alzheimer's and helping it with a plant-based diet. And I like it when I learn stuff. You know, he presents these studies that just present science that it's what I love. And so they found that, you know, the phytochemicals in plants, the phenols, the polyphenol compounds, the antioxidant properties, various flavonoids, some of these flavonoids can actually transverse the blood-brain barrier. Now, if you don't know, the brain has this barrier that only lets in certain things. And, you know, it's a pretty small barrier, so not very many things get in, which is good. But these flavonoids in plants can transfer the blood-brain barrier, and there's evidence that they become neuroprotective. And so they're finding the mechanisms that these plants can go in and scavenge the free radicals out of your brain, assisting the antioxidant defensive mechanisms within the cells. And anyway, what a great thing, you know. I think Alzheimer's is something that we all want to avoid. And so who wouldn't be interested in increasing their plants and preventing Alzheimer's? Great little video. I'll post it online. Everybody take a look.
You know, I was about to thank you for sharing that, but I've completely forgotten what you just said. I don't know. Maybe it's early onset Alzheimer's. I better check my diet. No, thank you for that, Rogan. That's wonderful.
I'll get you some more kale.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Give me some kale. Get the boy some kale. So we are talking with our new friend, Rogan's dear friend from Orem, Utah, Jim Jacobs, the unlikely plant-based Mormon. And Jim, welcome back to the show. I just wanted to share with you, and I told Rogan before the show, I said, I'm going to bring something up that I'll bet you Jim already knows about. Now, I grew up in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and my father was a terrific athlete and at one time was the Canadian national handball champion. Not a sport practiced by a lot of people, but a real man's game. And of course, it was a big deal in our house because of my dad. And I used to drive around to tournaments with him. And once or twice a year, they'd have these professionals travel into town. And they weren't wealthy athletes, so they would billet at the various homes and whatnot. And so we had some of the greatest handball players of all time stay in our home in Edmonton, one of which from New York City, a guy by the name of Jim Jacobs. Have you heard of Jim Jacobs before?
Jim is a relatively common name. Jacobs is not a terribly unusual last name. The first time I heard of another Jim Jacobs was when a shark bit him off the coast of California when I was 14 years old. And I've run into a couple since then, but I don't know your handball guy.
So, not only was he the reigning world champion from New York, but became very famous later on when he and another business partner took on a promising young boxer from the Bronx by the name of Mike Tyson. And they were the guys that they took him on when he was 15 years old and managed his career. He was his manager. So Jim Jacobs was Mike Tyson's manager. And everything was going swimmingly well until Don King got his hooks into Mike Tyson. And we know the story from there. So anyway, I would assume that you'd known that. If you Google Jim Jacobs, you'll get the rest of the story. But a wonderful guy and a fabulous athlete and shares your same name. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. So here's my next question for you, Jim, and that is that so you go from the guy who makes fun of the veggie burgers, right? And to the guy who's bringing the veggie burgers to the Ward socials, et cetera. And I'm just kind of curious, in your family, and you say you have eight children, what has been that legacy or that influence? Is your wife plant-based? Have any of your children followed you into this?
I have one area of my life as a father where I am batting 1,000. I'm perfect. I have never once recommended or given advice to my children about anything that they have ever listened to. And I'm sorry. First of all, I made a promise to myself when I started this that I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it. And it's like, I heard a while ago, how do you know if somebody's a vegan? And the answer is, don't worry, they'll tell you.
They'll tell you.
and I don't fit that. What I'm saying is, I do a fair amount of cooking at home, and I still cook the things that I used to cook. And the kids all know that I'm eating differently. It's had some effect on Linda as well. In fact, quite a bit of effect on Linda, but I'm not taking roll or keeping track. And the one thing that happens is the ones who are in town meet at my house every Sunday for dinner. And I make masa man, and even the little kids like it. So what I can do is make some good stuff. And Rogan told me a couple of things that I didn't mention. Rogan said that he can find something to eat no matter where he goes. I found that to be true. And he has said, you will find new flavors and textures that are going to be magnificent and wonderful. And, of course, I just thought that was another vegan lie. but it turned out to be true. And so when I make some good stuff and they like it, I guess that's having an influence. But they know my stand, and they don't. It's not worth it ribbing me because I confess right away. You know, hit me right here again, I deserve it. And but nobody has really... Nobody that I know has followed suit.
Well, by the way,
maybe I could enter.
I was just going to say, Rogan, I think that does it. We're going for Thai food tonight. He said Masaman, and my taste buds started. I started salivating.
Yeah, Byron, I was just going to interject when Jim started this journey eating plant based. I think his number one concern is, what am I going to eat, and is it going to taste good? And so I maybe had a little bit of input, but I'm sure he's found things. We've talked on and on about different great tasting flavors of things to eat. And we've shared recipes. And Jim, I think you make some pretty good stuff now, don't you?
I do make some good stuff. I still don't have enough. I have about four or five things that are really good that I make over and over. And I've got a stretch, and I know that. But no, I'm not unhappy with what I'm eating. Now, Rogan, I have not yet lost my taste for what has now become forbidden food. I look at a plate of hash browns with two eggs sunny side up over it, leaking the yolk down in there, and I'm thinking, man, that looks good to me. I know that it has no appeal to you, but I've eaten that way for so long. I have not yet gone to where you are, where the very idea of eating dairy or meat is repugnant. Now, there are some times, particularly with beef for some reason, beef doesn't have any appeal for me at all. But I go into Costco and I look at those chickens and I'm saying, oh, man, I remember when I used to like those and they look good to me today too. But I'm not doing it. And through time, those things will change, but it doesn't happen fast, at least for me.
Yeah, yeah. Takes time. But the main thing is, you know, we're all continually on a journey to find great recipes. And there's just more and more books, and we just got to keep sharing recipes. And maybe we can all post some recipes online on the website of
we need
great
to do
tasting
that.
Food, you know? Well, in fact,
hey,
Byron,
that is
so Jim, are you
Byron today shared with me a soup recipe that he's made that looks fabulous. We're going to make it when we get home, but Byron, let's post that online.
Let's do it. I was just going to ask Jim if he's a soup guy. One of the things I'll send him is this recipe for smoky chickpea red lentil and vegetable soup, which is just insanely delicious. So if you're interested, I'll send you that recipe.
Okay, how do I get you my email address?
Through Rogan. We'll figure it out. I'll get it done.
Okay, I would like that.
By the way,
now,
you reminded me when you were telling your story about if you want to know if somebody's a vegan, just, you know, wait, he'll tell you. It reminds me of the guy, he said, I've got a foolproof way. He said, if you ever get invited to a party you don't want to go to, he said, I found that the best answer is, oh, listen to that. He said, you know, I'm on a cleanse. And because nobody wants to be around anybody that's on a cleanse.
That's a good one. People say to me, in fact, my very sister, whom I love dearly, really didn't get the idea of what I'm doing until last Saturday when we had breakfast together. She loves me and I'm a little weird, and I can understand that. But people say, well, have you noticed any differences since you've been eating this way? And I got to say, yes, I have. First of all, my numbers on my annual physical, they're shiny now. When Rogan said that you can cleanse your tubes by going on a vegan diet, I wanted to believe that. It seemed, I thought that once you had all that plaque in there, you owned it until you died. But I have good cholesterol numbers. I have good heart rate. I have good blood pressure. Now, but I don't feel those things. But I'll tell you what I do feel. I haven't had any heartburn. And I used to have heartburn regularly. It was just a part of life. And I used to cough a lot. But when I'm attributing it to milk, but it may not be. I don't know whether I can separate it out of the mix. I'm not a cougher anymore. And not only that, I feel good after I've eaten. I remember the last Five Guys burger that I ate, and I loved Five Guys, and it tasted so good going down. But when I got halfway home in the car, I thought, oh, man, my stomach doesn't feel right. And I don't have those feelings anymore. At all. And I didn't know what to expect. Rogan didn't set me up with any of this. It's just that life, I feel better, and which is what I went to see Rogan for. And Rogan, part of me says, I'm sorry that I insulted you about your vegan nonsense. But you took it well, and you didn't fight back. And I hadn't seen Rogan for over a year and a half. And I don't know if there are people who go on this and then go off it. People being what they are, there must be some somewhere. But since I finished the book and we talked, I haven't gone off it. I don't waver. And I'm not wavering to please anybody. I'm wavering because I feel better, which is what I went to Rogan for initially.
That's what it's all about. And Jim, I remember so clearly 3 or 4 years ago when you came in that day, you weren't sick, but you were sick. And, you know, you can just tell when you look at someone, they're not well. And I think it was at that moment when you're feeling crappy, you couldn't tell what was wrong, nobody could really do anything for you. And when I look at you now, you're healthy, you're running around, you're doing all this stuff, you look good, and you're feeling good on the inside and the outside. That's what it's all about. That's what we want everybody to feel like. So
I'm proud of you. Good job. I'm happy with that. In fact, Linda just said, we had to go to the grocery store. I forgot something. I had to pick it up. She stayed in the car. I ran inside. That night, after when we were in, just before we were going to bed, she said, you know, you walk better than you used to walk. And I wasn't aware of that at all. And, well, partly that's because Rogan beats me up when I go in to see him. But anyway, there has been positive result.
Yeah, it's pretty fun to watch people change, and it's just so huge in their life, you know. It makes everything in your life better.
I am feeling better. It's true.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, one of the questions we like to ask, Jim, for somebody who has gone through this transition and whatnot is, when you do talk to people who may say either, hey, listen, I notice a change in you, or listen, I'm not feeling very as good as I'd like, and I hear you've done some things, and kind of come to you for advice, much in the same way that you went to Rogan. What are some of your go-to comments that you make to them, or advice that you give people who may be wanting to look to improve their health?
I can't remember anybody asking me that. I must not, so I don't know. Now, they want to know why I'm doing it, and then I tell them the Rogan story. But the thing that really put me over the edge was the China study, with all of those studies in there and all of those numbers.
Yeah.
And plus, I was talking to a friend after I read it, and on his own, he had, for reasons I still don't know, looked up healthy cultural groups, healthy peoples, and longevity is what he was starting with, and he found that the groups that had the greatest longevity as a whole all ate a similar kind of plant-based diet. Some of them had some fish that they added to it. Nobody ate red meat. And they were all in different countries. And That just seemed to go along with what the China study was doing. Now, wait a minute, let it just came in. This hasn't had any difference on our kids eating, has it? Has it? You notice that?
No, I haven't.
No, Linda hasn't noticed that our kids have paid any attention at all either. What about you?
Hey, one of your kids read the China study, Jim. Was it Daniel or?
It was. I think Daniel did read the China study.
Yeah.
And
I think he tried it.
Yeah, but I don't. But he's not eating like it.
Yeah.
When did you start? Linda has something profound to say.
Oh, not profound, but I do notice that when the kids have medical difficulties, the first thing they look at is their diet. Am I doing
good.
Something wrong with my food? Which I think mm-hmm. is a great progress.
What about, I really can't tell where you are exactly, is it? But you're not eating the same way you used to, are you?
No.
What are you doing differently?
Pretty much eating the way you do.
Oh. Okay,
good
there
job,
you go.
Well, there okay. goes your perfect record, Jim. Somebody's actually paying attention to you.
Gosh, dude.
But I haven't given up my chocolate.
Well, chocolate's a plant.
That's right.
That's a plant, Linda. Keep it up.
The bean, that's right. Well, you know, we've talked on the show before, and as Rogan said, and wisely so, you know, and you even mentioned earlier on, there are some subjects that are just really sensitive for people. You said diet, and boy, I would certainly agree with that. I would add two more, and that is that anytime you start talking to people about religion or politics or what they eat, it's just there's an element of emotion involved. Just don't eat. You know, when you're talking about other side of the street parking, right, or something like that. And everybody is in a very different position in their journey. And we're grateful for anybody's attempt to try to eat better and to better their health. Because this is a Mormon vegetarian, and we bring up the word of wisdom on a fairly regular basis, there have been some recent pronouncements that I have found very heartening. And we've mentioned it before, but I'm going to bring it up again, because if you were to turn around and say to me, particularly to an LDS person, you know, what would you say to somebody who came to you and said, hey, I'm concerned about my diet, et cetera. And it was from Elder Bednar. And he was at a young single adult conference, and a young man who was a recent convert from another church put up his hand and said, listen, I want to know if it's okay if I eat pork. And Elder Bednar said, you read Section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants, and you'll find your answer. And the kid said, is that a yes or a no? And he said, you read the Section 89, and you'll find the answer to your question. And the kid got a little frustrated with him. He said, look, it's a simple question. I want a simple answer. Is it okay if I eat pork? And Elder Bednar said, listen, we're going to go on like this all night. You're going to keep asking me for a yes or no answer. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to tell you, you need to go read Section 89 of the Word of Wisdom, and I'm telling you, you're going to find your answer in there, which I thought was a really brilliant response. Because
that's awesome.
He could have said yes. He said, yeah, you can eat pork, right, which a lot of people would. Or he could have said, well, you shouldn't. Or what. He said, listen, this is your journey. We're never going to tell you how many steps to take on the Sabbath, right? You go read it, and you'll find it. And that's my go-to answer to people anymore. I say, well, have you read the Word of Wisdom? I say, yeah. And I say, you'll find your answer in there. Go find it. And if you come out of there and your answer is, it's okay for me to eat pork, I'll say, good for you. That wasn't the answer I got, but good for you, right? So brilliant advice, as always, from our leader, I think.
So I have a question. Hey, is Linda still there?
He is.
So
yes,
Linda,
yes.
I haven't talked to you for a while. But you've been eating this way mostly for a while. Have you noticed any changes in your health?
I have more energy, I think. I'm doing yoga, and I don't have any neck or back pain anymore at all.
Good.
And I don't, and I feel younger. I feel younger.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's great. And you don't have to see me anymore.
I don't have to see you anymore, you.
Oh, Rogan. Oh, Rogan, that's my goal in life.
We're still working on Jim.
We have to admire Rogan for being so dedicated for what he knows to be true that he's willing to give this advice even though it's bad for his business. Although, as we discovered earlier today, even the most strict plant-based diet can't cure a torn meniscus. So I was anxious to see Rogan for lots of reasons on this trip, not the least of which is I needed him to look at my knee, which he did, and he's got that thumb, that same thumb that found your neck issue and said, my friend, you've got a torn meniscus. So I got to go take care of that. Well, guys, this has been a wonderful conversation. I don't know if Jim or Linda or Rogan, if you have anything you'd like to kind of end up with on this, we'd be happy to hear the last word. But we've been talking to Jim Jacobs and his wife Linda in Orem, Utah, who used to make fun of people who didn't eat meat, and now he's one of them, and gratefully so. He's feeling better, and his wife feels better, and it's been just terrific talking to both of you and hearing your story. And thank you so much for spending some time with us today and sharing with us. We really appreciate it.
It's been our pleasure. And Rogan, I didn't say any of the bad things you told me not to say.
You were really good. Great behavior tonight, Jim.
Thank you very much. You can save all that other
stuff for later when we talk.
Okay, next time, don't hurt me so much.
Well, you know, I love my job, and I just have to do what's best.
I know.
Well, Jim, in your honor, we're going to go get some Thai food tonight and probably some masaman. And I promise you to send you that recipe for that smoky chickpea, red lentil, and vegetable soup.
Is this your own invention?
No, it's not. I will tell you when I send you the email, though. There's, of course, so many wonderful resources online these days and recipes. And I love Rogan's idea. We need to start producing that more to this group. But, I got it from somebody else, and I made it. And then as we've continued to make it, we've made some adjustments. And it is just become an absolute go-to, a killer recipe for us. The people I home teach will call me and ask me if I've made it. I think they can smell it because they stop over at the house to get some. So, no, it's not my invention, but certainly have modified it. We add more green vegetables and whatnot. But I'll send it to you and tell you a little bit about what we've been doing to make it even better.
Byron, I was just going to ask if you'd include your changes, and I thank you very much for sending it.
Yeah, you bet. And again, thanks to Jim and Linda Jacobs for joining us from Orem, Utah tonight. Rogan, as always, great to see you. Let's go get some Thai food.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night,
everybody. Take care.
Talk to you later.
I don't eat no meat, no dairy, no sweets. Only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu. No fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes. Only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy. And I rarely drink water,